Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There's a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. ArchiCAD is the official BIM software of the Entree Architect community. ArchiCAD BIM software enables design, collaboration, visualization, and project delivery no matter the project size or complexity. With flexible licensing options and a dedicated support team to guide us along the way, ArchiCAD is an ideal choice for firms and projects of any size. I encourage you to reach out and talk to the folks at Graphisoft by visiting our own dedicated webpage at graphisoft.com/us/EntreeArchitect. There's even an exclusive special offer waiting for our Entree Architect community. Go now to graphisoft.com/us/EntreeArchitect and see how Graphisoft is positioned to help make your architecture firm a success. That's graphisoft.com/us/EntreeArchitect. My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise, all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. Shannon Hughes, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you so much, Mark. I am thrilled to be here.
I'm excited about this too. You and I have talked offline, or not offline, but beyond this recording, and we are very much aligned with the things that we ultimately want with the world. And so this is going to be a fun conversation. Let me introduce you to our audience. Shannon Hughes is a consultant and facilitator with a calling to nurture people-first company culture with small and medium-sized firms. In her practice in Liven Studios, she brings strategic business mentorship and experiential teaching practices to incite easeful collaboration and embolden transformational leadership. With more than 20 years of corporate marketing and HR strategy experience, plus a lifetime of proven leadership, performance, and creative devotion. I love that, creative devotion. Shannon combines skill and heart into every Enlivened Studios session. Through this work, Shannon is on a mission to help people live fully, lead consciously, and impact the world with joy and collective aliveness. Now, if you have been listening to this podcast for any amount of time, you know why I'm excited to talk to Shannon, because right? That's your, me as well, right? That's those we are speaking the same language here, Shannon. So I'm really excited to have this conversation about culture and teams and the things that our listeners can do to make their little corner of the world better.
Great. Great. Thank you. Yes, indeed. The conversations we've had thus far were inspiring and have just buoyed me until today. So indeed, we're very aligned. And I've listened to so many of your episodes that are exactly about this, about culture.
Yeah, it's you know, the people in architecture is what inspires me, right? Mm-hmm. It's I love the work that we do, and I love how we impact the world, and we literally change the world with the work that we do every day. But I'm all about the people. I'm about this community of small firms that we've built, and helping them move forward is really what I'm most passionate about. I want to know more about what you're most passionate about. I want to understand in your origin story, when did you discover that passion for what you do? And maybe talk a little bit about who or what inspired you to get started.
Great. Thank you. It's a great question. And I love that you highlighted that point in my bio about creativity, because whether this is going to make sense off the cuff, or, you know, at the start or not, and I'll explain it. I think creativity really is a lot at the core of how I got to where I am today. And the reason for that is I'm a big believer that people, humans, are innate creatives. Whether you're an architect, a designer, or you know anyone who's running a small business, and just humans in the world, we are naturally and innately creative.
Yeah.
And so I would venture to guess that a lot of us have come to the places that we are in our businesses because we are creative entrepreneurs, obviously in our skill set as architects and designers, but also just as people who actually are bold and courageous and passionate enough to start your own business. I mean, talk about a creative act of courage and resilience.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think I've thought about that, but the fact that you highlighted that point in my bio just really kind of brought that to the surface in terms of my origin story. But my origin story is that I come from a background, I've got about 20 plus years in corporate. So I did my time, I guess I could say, in corporate. I worked for a recruitment advertising agency for a number of years, kind of off and on. And that recruitment advertising is basically, it's an advertising agency that's headquartered in New York, a global advertising agency, but we were really focused on B2B. So working with HR executives, marketing executives of Fortune 500 companies and smaller companies as well, to help them identify how they can attract the people that they want to work for them. So yes, it was branding. It was finding the value proposition of what it is that really draws, let's say, engineers to Nike or Hewlett-Packard. So it was a really interesting kind of space to be. And I played a number of roles while I was there and was VP of client strategy for a number of years. And so without knowing it, I was doing people and culture work that whole time, right? Because I was basically living in the world of human resources without being I've got my air quotes going, you know, I'm not a human resources professional or certification. Yeah. From that kind of policies and systems perspective, but managing people, supporting the development of people, helping organizations find the right talent based on how they promote themselves and their brands. That's all culture, right? That's all culture. So yeah, my origin story sort of started then. I did that for a long time, and I had small children they're getting older now, but in 2017, presented to my boss that I was working overtime. I was doing too much, you know, phone calls by the sideline of the soccer game kind of thing. And so he shifted my role from VP of client strategy to I still laugh at this, financial operations manager.
All right.
Ooh. Yeah. Not and I know we're just getting to know each other, Mark, but that's just not my jam. I'm a creative and I'm a people person. And so sitting in front of spreadsheets wasn't working for me. So I left. I left the agency amicably. It was a wonderful place to be. And I kind of ventured back out into redefining and rediscovering my creative self. And part of that was going back to take improv classes and doing some writing and really just sort of using that time to ideate what I wanted to do next. And it didn't take me too long to see the parallels and intersections of improv theater with how business can be run. So while I don't lead with improv necessarily in terms of how I facilitate and how I run my business and the work that I do, I borrow from it quite a bit. So concepts like yes and, you know, the idea of yes versus no but, making your partner look good is another tenet of improv. And just being mindful and compassionate and listening and sort of all those EQ skills that really come into play when you're talking to folks like you do every day in terms of how we run our businesses and take care of our people.
Yeah, that's very interesting to hear how you describe the tenets of improv, because if you didn't mention improv and you started talking about those things, you could very much be talking about culture building, right? Those same things are what makes good cultures, you know, bringing people together, listening to them, you know, being a positive influence, yes, and, right, rather than a no, but. Exactly. Those are all things that help grow positive, healthy cultures.
Yes.
So what do you do? I want to just sort of let people understand what do you do on a daily basis? Like, what does Enliven Studios do?
Right. So Enliven Studios is a boutique consultancy focused on defining and nurturing company culture for small to medium-sized firms. And so what that looks like is my clients can sort of drop in on the process I'm about to describe, depending on what their objectives are. So yeah, it doesn't necessarily need to be the whole kit and caboodle. But the services that I provide as part of this culture consultancy are values excavation, right? So in my work and my experience, really leading with values as the foundation for everything that the culture stands for is critical. So a lot of firms already have those values, and that's wonderful. So let's get to know what they are and embrace them and determine what those behaviors are that we can really put into practice so that our values are being behavioralized on a day-to-day basis. If we have values of, let's say, play, creative resilience, and integrity, great. Those are beautiful words. What do they mean to us? What do they mean to the 15, 25 people who work here? And not only what do they mean to us, but how do we integrate them into our meetings? How do we make sure that when the CEO does a coffee chat or presents ideas to the organization, that we're upholding those values and that they're shining through explicitly to the people that are working there? How do we integrate those values into the way that we provide our onboarding program? Or how do we interview? What do our job descriptions sound like? So really keeping those values top of mind. So sort of at the front end of the work is this values work. And again, clients can drop in wherever it makes sense, but values excavation then leads to what I call a culture blueprint. So, all right, well, what do we know about what's working and what's not working? And how might we integrate these values throughout how we operate here at XYZ organization or firm? And then there's the implementation of it. So let's roll it out. Let's roll up our sleeves and determine, is it maybe potentially me that you're looking to support for the onboarding program? Or do you have folks in-house? How do we then create teams within the firm to be accountable? Because I'm not going to be here forever. That ideally, I'm not. I'm only here for a short time. So who are those people and how do we establish who the air quotes culture keepers are? To continue that motivation and to continue making sure that we're realigned to what we say we're going to do here at this firm from a values perspective and a culture standpoint.
That's a much needed service. You know, I think it's a much needed service throughout our society at every level to focus on the people and the culture and the relationships among those people. So number one, thank you for doing that work. And making that something that's happening in our small and medium-sized firms. Can we walk through that process with like how someone who might be listening could do those three things in terms of, you know, checking on your values and excavating your values and the culture blueprint and the implementation? Maybe using somebody, there's lots of people who listen who are working for somebody else, who are thinking about starting their own firms. And that's definitely something that they should be focused on, right? Creating this blueprint for the future of their firm. But a very large portion of this audience are people who've been doing this for a long time, you know, 10 people, yeah. 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and they're still trying to figure it out, right? We're all trying to figure it out. And so I would love to focus on those people, the people who have been doing it and have grown sort of organically. Now they have this team of 3-5 people, maybe. They want to grow. They want to continue to be successful. but they never really focused on this, and they know it's something that's important. So there's already a culture established, right? Every organization has a culture. It's just a matter of, you know, whether it's a culture that was an intentional culture or not. Right. How does somebody like that start with sort of looking at their values and going through that process?
Yeah. Thank you. So I'm a big believer that we, and stay with me because this is going to sound a little woo-woo, and then I'm going to bring it back.
I love woo-woo. Go for it. I'm all woo-woo is real for me.
Good. So I'm a big believer, and what I bring into this work conceptually is that although we are a group of people, right? A group of, like you said, five people, let's say. Yeah. Sure. We are a group of five people. We are a collective of five people. We are also individuals, right? Who bring our own stories, our own background, our own worldview, our own belief system, whether those have been things those beliefs we've cultivated on our own or have been handed to us by legacy or parenting. So to come together as a team and not acknowledge the fact that we are individuals is doing the organization and the team a big disservice. So when I talk with folks like the ones you're describing, my suggestion would be, let's do a little work around what each of us individually believe are our core value sets, right? So yep. Mark comes to the table with, you know, I won't use you. I'll come to the table with values of independence. I value, you know, autonomy and independence. These are real values, by the way. But for me, let's just say autonomy, creativity, and curiosity. Okay. So those are three that I really lead with. And you might have something that, who knows, yours are a little bit more about tactical or anyway, we've got our own shared value sets, right? So what I usually do is I'll give some teams kind of quote unquote homework to do to identify what our individual core values are. And then we come together as a group and I'll facilitate a conversation. Oftentimes there's a lot of laughter. There's a lot of interactivity the way I design these workshops because I borrow from improv, but they always have an objective and these huge aha moments because the point of them are, let's identify our personal values and then come together and collectively share those and let our shared values as a team here at this firm bubble up from our individual values. And it happens naturally. Of course, it needs some, intentional and discerning conversation. But it is always a feel-good time. It is always illuminating. And it always allows space for each person to be there on their own and then also exist as a team. And so what you're doing is you're co-creating this set of values together where you've got folks who have skin in the game. They're vested. They've had a voice at the table. They've co-created this value set with one another. And the CEO or the leader or the principal of the firm is in that room helping to have those conversations. Transparency is a must. Honesty, curiosity, really flexing those listening skills, and just an openness to kind of hear what each of us are bringing to the table. And this whole experience, this whole workshop that I'm describing can also happen if you already have your values, because values change, right? Yeah. Markets shift, pandemics come, right? Recessions affect what we're doing,
right.
or we're in scale-up mode. It's time to really kind of rubber meets the road kind of thing. And now we're ready to hire more people. Okay, well, let's align with the small group we've got so that as we start to recruit these new people into the firm, they're the people that not only fit us from a skills perspective, but also fit our culture. It's really important to have that kind of understanding from a values perspective so we can be discerning about who is a fit and who may not be a fit based on how we operate here.
That's where I was thinking is that process, which I can see why the value of a facilitator is so important because everybody's individual values are their own, right? And they're real, right? It's not something you can manufacture. They are what they are. And I could see a scenario where, you know, if everybody's values are in alignment, right, and congruent and they work, then you have a great, you know, that culture starts to, you know, probably is already growing and building and is healthy. But there are probably also times where that honesty and that transparency brings conflict, right? My values may be in complete contrast to your values.
Right.
And does that transparency actually happen in those situations? And if it does, and there is conflict, how is that resolved? Can we come together to find common values? Or is this the point where we realize, oh, that's why this culture is not so healthy, because we do have this conflict and we're going to have to make some changes? What do you do?
Yeah. I mean, I think that it could be both and, right? It could be either of those different situations. I think that when you have conflicting values, I think it's really important. I'm glad you mentioned the facilitation, because I'm going to sort of challenge the word conflicting, because they may seem conflicting, right? I'm going to actually give an example from an actual workshop that I did for a firm on the East Coast. And we had a group, it was a little bit of a larger group. There are 20 of us, but not too big. And there was a gentleman there who has been with the firm for a very long time. He's, you know, a little bit old school in his way of thinking, and really kept pressing his core value of professionalism. Mm-hmm. And the way that he was starting to define professionalism and kept really bringing it up with the group when we all came together and started having conversation was about, he was using words like critique. And it was really not only about professionalism in terms of how he was doing his work, but also how he saw himself as a leader. And then in contrast, we had some really, some young folks, right, who are maybe 30, maybe, whose, you know, core values were much more about openness and curiosity and, you know, kind of had those like sparkly, kind of vibe to it. Right. So you would think that those two things would be conflicting, and, you know, on paper, yes. But if the conversation is facilitated in a way, and doesn't need to be somebody like me, this could also be, and should be at the end of the day, the principal and the leadership team within a firm to really learn how to skill up on having these types of conversations, but to really invite, rather than seeing those two ideas and those two ways of being as in conflict, well, wow, if I'm a young 30-year-old and we've got somebody who's very established in the firm who really, really holds dear the idea of professionalism, how might I, as the young newbie, borrow and lean in and initiate conversations with somebody like that? Because wow, what's underneath that value of professionalism that might really support me in my career development? Maybe they're a mentor. Maybe it's someone I'm going to have by my side for the rest of my career. And conversely, you've got the gentleman I'm describing. Maybe there's a new way of looking at technology that might really benefit the firm that person hasn't thought of yet. Or so there's this kind of, I'm using my hands here to sort of like a give and take of how do we recognize the value of what each of us bring to the table and borrow from that versus seeing it in conflict. And the second thing I'll say, and then I'll stop talking about this question, but it's a really good one, is at the end of the day, we are also a team who are supporting the business. So it's important not to lose sight of that, because this is a personal endeavor. Culture is very personal, but not to the degree that people have to give away their whole heart and soul, right? I mean, there are barriers and limitations to us, and it's work. It's a career. And we have all sorts of other facets of us. So bringing our whole selves to work, I love saying that. And yet, whole self, like, you know, you got to reserve a little bit of ourselves for our families and our personal lives. So to kind of maybe if there's a conflict like you're describing, how do we kind of, okay, let's recognize that conflict and then realign to the business. What's the business here to do? What's our mission? What's our vision? What's our backstory? How do we want to provide? How do we want to present ourselves to our clients or to the market? What are our awesome projects works that we can celebrate as a team? So it's not so much diversion or reframe. It's really all about just reminding folks why we're here. We are a culture, but we're a culture that are here to do good for this business, this firm, and the growth of this firm.
Yeah, that's so important, that that ultimately what you're trying to accomplish is to establish your firm's culture, right? And my personal values and your personal values may be different, but we can agree that the firm's culture, we agree on that, right? That we want to make that thrive. And that if it is based in values that are in alignment, right? That you may have values that are not in alignment, but these values are in alignment, and we all agree that this is how this firm is going to grow, then you can continue and that culture can grow, and right, you can have your values and I can have my values and we can still love one another, right? We don't have to hate one another just because you don't agree with me. And that's a really important thing, especially in this environment, the world that we're living in today. Often it is very black and white. If you don't agree with me, then you're my enemy, right? And that's not the way life should be, right? We should love one another and accept that we don't always agree. Let's take a quick break to say thank you to our sponsors for their support of this episode. This episode of Entree Architect Podcast is supported by Arcat.com. Can't find the product data that you're looking for? You might be using the wrong search engine. Broad searches result in consumer products, out-of-date information, and websites that hide or don't have the information that you're looking for. If you need specifications, CAD, or BIM, Arcat.com is your search engine. Find and download the up-to-date data that you need fast. Arcat.com is free and requires no registration. So try Arcat today. That's Arcat.com. Please visit our sponsors today and thank them. Thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. That recognition that we can come together on shared values, right, and continue to grow a firm and to build a really thriving culture with differences is not only something that's important in a firm, but important in our society, that we should be able to come together with some shared values, but also have our own personal values.
Exactly. And in fact, that firm I was just describing, we ended up making this the marketing. There's a couple of guys who support their marketing efforts, and they created this glossy, sheet that they posted on the wall. And it has each employee's name with the six core values that they had uncovered in this exercise. And they're using it as an opportunity to celebrate that Mark has these six values. And I have mine. And wow, tell me more, Mark, about what it is about integrity that really drives you. Or, what is it about, spirituality is really high on your values list. I'd love to learn more about what that means to you. So it also could be, spark some kind of water cooler style conversations or deepen relationships and give folks an understanding of how we work. What it is that really kind of pulls us out of bed in the morning and brings us to this vocation.
Yeah. And I could imagine that those kind of graphics sort of lead into that next phase that you talked about with the culture blueprint and sort of going through this exercise, documenting what you've discovered, and then now say, here's what we want to do in our firm, the plan, right? That's essentially what a blueprint gives us. How does that work and how can someone implement that in their own firm?
Yeah, great question. So despite the size of the firm, right, as you mentioned, culture exists whether we pay attention to it or not. And also, so do systems and rituals and routines. And oftentimes when the firm is so small, right, we start with two, then we grow to three, four, maybe five, right? We're nimble. People are wearing different hats. We're sort of picking up where the other person left off. So there's a lot of overlap. And so routines and rituals, the way we run meetings, the way we hire, the way we write our job descriptions, how we take care of our people kind of grows organically just by nature of it having to grow organically, right? So unless there's that intentionality on day one, which oftentimes there's not, because we're trying to grow a business at the end of the day, right? Yep. So here we are with five people and these kind of way of being has sort of just happened organically. No one really orchestrated it. So now it's time to sort of, now that we've got our values work, let's push pause and take a look around. Well, let's have some intake, you know, if I'm involved or somebody like me is involved, we'd have some intake conversations to really get an understanding with each, with folks in the group. Well, okay, well, what is working? How often do you meet? What do those look like? Are they, you know, do you have lunch and learns? Are there any sort of casual opportunity for people to get to know one another on a more personal level? Or is it strictly about project updates and, you know, technical trainings? Both are extremely necessary, but how do we incorporate them so that they support the values? I oftentimes think about, well, I use in my graphic, I'm glad you mentioned, for the blueprint, what I refer to as an employee life cycle. So across the employee life cycle, right, which starts with attraction and then recruitment, onboarding, training, retention, offboarding. I had to get that in my brain so I could say that correctly. But that's what I use. So I would go in and have a conversation and say, okay, let's look at each of these parts of the employee life cycle. What are we doing here? Or what are we not doing here? And are we, some of them, you know, we're a small firm. We mean, we're not going to need a big, huge thing about onboarding and programmatic this and that. Maybe it's just something small, right? So maybe we start introducing CEO coffee chats. Once a month, maybe once a quarter, we sit down to get the CEO or the firm leader to sit down on a stool, fireside chat way, and grab a couple of, you know, donuts into the office and some coffee, and just talk about the state of the business with transparency and openness and allow for some Q&A. That kind of trust building work and those conversations, I guarantee will buoy the people who work there and will have a huge, huge impact. Because I'm sure you and I both know that it's surprising how often those things don't happen either.
Oh,
because,
yeah, for sure.
You know, so that's kind of how I approach it, is to think about this employee life cycle and then have some conversations both with the principal and with various team members to get an understanding of what's working and what's not working. And I'm filled with all sorts of ideas for how to kind of brighten up a culture and enliven it to have some kind of aliveness when it comes to the culture, and then to have touch bases and check-ins on a quarterly basis. Do these values still uphold us? What do we need to change? Are we growing faster than we thought we were? Are we having to let people go? That's a reality these days, right?
Yeah.
What's our project workflow? How are we working with our new external partners that we just brought on to support the work that we're closing, the business we're closing. Those things all have impact. And so how do we keep an eye on those things and continue to bring the team together to have transparent conversations about the impact on us personally as individuals and, again, as the collective?
So the blueprint and the implementation are tied together, right?
Yes.
You document the things that you're going to do that you've learned and you've decided, okay, these are the things that we're going to do. You systematize them, essentially. You say, okay, here's what we're going to do in order to be intentional about our culture. Plant the seeds for the cultivation that, you know, people always talk about cultivating the culture. That requires planting seeds. And those things that you described, like that CEO coffee, is a seed, right? You plant that seed, you have that conversation, right? Something blooms from that, something gets better and the culture grows. And so that doesn't happen unless it's intentional. And so by documenting it in a blueprint, saying, okay, here's how our firm is going to continue to grow our culture and make it a positive culture, intentional. This is what we'll do. And this is how we'll do it on a daily basis, a weekly basis, monthly basis, annual basis, just like a business plan, and have a really successful culture. I think some people hear, you know, culture and positive culture and cultivating culture and intentional culture almost as if, all right, I'm going to get this business figured out and the business is going to be profitable. And then I'm going to figure out the culture, right? And then I'm going to paint this happiness on top of my successful business. It can't really be that, right? It needs to be this intentional integrated process. It's a must have. It's not a nice to have.
Whew, you're speaking my language. yes, 1,000 times. And I really think it's important to make mention here for those, for your listeners, because I know you do have a lot of, you know, small firms who listen to your podcast. This does not, if this at all is sounding like a Herculean effort, and it might come across like that, right? We're talking about phases. Yeah. We're talking right. about start here and then we do. And those can trigger, right? Whoa, God, she just said I had to do this first and then something else. It has a whole trajectory. And it does. But that's why I mentioned earlier that we can drop in wherever it makes sense. Oftentimes, honestly, Mark, it starts with a workshop. Let's just get in a room and play around a little bit with what we believe in and what we want to do here as a firm. Let's take it from there. That might be it. Maybe it's a 3-hour workshop. We're done. We feel good. We kind of know our roadmap. We know what we're going to do, and we're off and running. Other times it's deeper than that and wider than that, and it does have a trajectory and a plan, and it takes a little time. All of those things are true. And also only one of those things can be true, depending on what your needs are, what your budget is, what your growth plan is, and kind of where you stand with this work. But do something, to your point. Yeah. Something, just something. Because at the very, 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 very least, as a leader, you are saying to your people, I care about you. I care about you. I appreciate you. I want you to have a voice. I want you to be at the table, because we are a team of people who are doing amazing work in the world for our clients. And I know you're a huge believer that architects can change the world.
Yeah.
But not if we're going to think about our people as an afterthought.
Right. Right. Yeah. And you know, the most successful architecture firms I know, small firms, are those firms that are growing healthy, intentional cultures, that it's part of their plan. It's part of their annual process, their quarterly process, is this exact process that you're talking about, making sure everybody is heard, going through exercises so the culture is intentional, that intentional culture is documented, and it's intentional, right? It continues as part of what happens in that architecture firm. So it is part of the business plan. It is part of what you should be doing. Just as important as putting together a financial plan is your culture blueprint and your culture plan. Lots of architects right now are looking to find help, right? That they're looking to attract people to grow their firms.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about, you know, sometimes we may have to shrink, but most of the firms I'm talking to right now are still busy, still looking for people. Yeah. To work with them, and can't find the people that they need to get the work done. What you're talking about is a critical piece, right? I talk about branding all the time, of attracting clients through the brand that you build, but the culture is part of that brand, part of that story that people talk about when they talk about your firm. And if you build a positive, healthy culture, that becomes something that people talk about. It's something that a prospective employee will look at and say, that firm is offering me a lot of money, but that firm is offering me a lot of money, plus it's got a great culture. Or they're not even paying me as much as that other firm, but it's a great place to work. I'm going to go work for that firm that's got a great place to work every time.
Yeah.
And so it is not only important for the people who are working at the firm, but the people you want to attract to work for that firm.
Yes. Yes, 100%. And, you know, I mentioned my corporate background with the advertising agency. They were larger organizations, but the point of it is, despite the size, this idea of employer branding. I love that you brought up branding. Yeah. I know that you have a number of other podcasts and conversations specifically around branding. And you're right. And again, that doesn't need to be a Herculean effort, right? It's just determining what it is you stand for,
right,
and how you want to present yourself to the market. And the right people will come. They will. Yeah. It does take time. The market is a little tricky. Stay the course, right? Don't settle. Because settling, I mean, the cost of bringing somebody into your firm and onboarding them and training them, I mean, we all know that those costs can be prohibitively high. And then if you have someone in your organization who's not a cultural fit, whose performance isn't what you had thought, because, oh gosh, we just had to get somebody in there. No,
right.
No, And doing all this work of values and branding really helps just kind of identify that North Star for everybody.
Yeah.
Because if I work at your firm, let's say, Mark, and I go to a cocktail party, or I have a, I don't know, some meet up with a friend, and they say to me, God, you know, yeah, I've got this, all this background in design, but I'm looking for a, well, now I know what you and your firm stand for. I'm not going to necessarily recommend a different firm who stands for something else, because I know this person. So the referral rate is high.
Right.
Right. And your people who work for your firm are the ambassadors for your brand. They're the best ambassadors for your brand, but not without that clarity.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said before, your firm has a culture, whether it's intentional or not, whether it's designed or not, your brand is there, whether you design that brand or not. People are talking about you and your firm. Hopefully they're talking about you and your firm. Hopefully they're telling the story that you want them to tell. Right. And it's the same thing with the culture. And those are the things that make the firm grow and be successful and financially successful and all the things that you want to happen. The culture and the brand are this integrated thing. This is such an interesting conversation. I'm hoping that that we've inspired some to get more focused on this part of their business, because I think a lot of small firms, because they are wearing so many hats, doing so many things, having so many responsibilities, it sometimes the culture slips. Right, because it is there whether they intentionally build it or not, and hopefully it is successful if it's not intentional, but it can be intentional and it's not a lot of work, and so I hope that that you listening do take what we're talking about here and implement some of this and just take a first step, right? Just go through one exercise and see how it works. Shannon, thank you for coming by and talking to me with this. Before we wrap up, I want to get your answer to my one question. What's that one thing? What's the one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
Sit down and talk with your people. I love the word intentionally, right? Yeah. And it doesn't need to be a high ticket item, fancy dinner. So, I mean, this is just, hey guys, can I borrow you for an hour? Right? I wanted to just check in. I want to check in with you. XYZ is happening with these clients, whatever the case is, right? Let's just realign and say hi to each other. Have a little levity, remind each other that there's humanity here. Talk a little bit about the mission and the vision. Hey, remember, this is why we're here. Yeah. Everybody agree? Yeah. And just kind of use it as a reinvigorated in the work. That level of, and open yourself up for questions and answers. There might be people who have hesitations, or they're nervous about something, or they don't really know that there's an open door policy to ask questions or have conversations. And you're going to have introverts. Not everyone's going to have this big boisterous conversation, right? But to recognize that too. Not only is it, hey guys, let's have a conversation, but recognizing and saying explicitly, I understand that not everyone's going to want to speak up during this particular hour session. Please know that you can drop by anytime and I will make space for you. We just need that now more than ever. We're in such a weird time in the world.
Yes, yes.
And we need that connection. We're wired for connection. We are wired for connection. And that's how we're going to do good work as a team and good work in the world. So yeah. I would say, yeah, transparency and conversation.
Yeah. Great, great suggestions, great advice. I agree with you. I about society and the things that we're dealing with today, all you can do is impact the people around you, right? And that's what we're talking about here. You have this little corner of the world called your architecture firm, and you can design it to be whatever you want it to be. So why not design it to be the best place it can be that can influence and impact other people that you come in contact with? And that's the culture, right? And so if you do that, and you do that, and you do that, and you do that, and hundreds of us do that, the world starts to shift. The world starts to move in a positive direction because you're influencing somebody and they're influencing somebody. And that's the compound effect. And we can make a difference every day if you just choose to be kind and choose to build a positive culture rather than the alternative. And so, Shannon, thank you for the work that you do. Being out there helping firms grow positive, intentional cultures, it's such a critical piece to the puzzle that we that we're putting together here called small firms. You know, nobody teaches us this stuff in architecture school. And so to have somebody like you come and sort of walk us through a process is fantastic. So thank you for the work that you do. Her name is Shannon Hughes. Enlivened Studios is the firm. You can learn all about what Shannon does, and you can, you know, give her a call. Maybe she can come by your studio and do this with you. Enlivened Studios with an S, enlivenedstudios.com is the website. You can go learn more all about them. Shannon, before we started here, you said that you might have a little gift or a little resource for our audience. You want to talk a little bit about what that is and how they can get it?
Yeah, sure. So I have a download that's available for your listeners, and it is called The 5 Tips to Inspire a People First Culture. 5 Tips to Inspire a People First Culture. And that's exactly what it is. It's simple. It's laid out. It's not high ticket, high budget, high resource, time-wise kind of stuff. This is the basics. And it's available at enlivenedstudios.com/people first.
All right. enlivenedstudios.com/people first. We'll have that link and links to everything we talked about today. The website, all of that will be on the show notes. So just go to the show notes for this episode. We'll have links to all of that. Shannon, again, thank you. I always love talking with you. I love this conversation. I love this topic. I love that people are listening and you know, taking this back to their studios and to their people and saying, hey, let's go do this. Let's go make this little corner of the world a better place. So thank you for being out there, making the transition from the corporate world so we can have somebody like you work with the firms that we have here. I appreciate that. And thank you for coming by here at Entree Architect Podcast and sharing your knowledge.
Thank you so much, Mark. It's such a pleasure to do this today. And it's a pleasure to know you.
Thank you. If you liked this episode of Entree Architect Podcast, please share a rating, write a review, share a link with a friend. That's how Entree Architect has grown to serve thousands of architects just like you. Please share a rating, write a review, share a link to this episode with a friend. I'd appreciate it. Links to all our sponsors and all the resources we discussed today are available at the show notes for this episode found at entrearchitect.com/podcast. Entree Architect is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. It's the network dedicated to architects, engineers, and construction pros. Listen and subscribe to all the shows at Gable Media at gablemedia.com. That's gablemedia.com. Go check it out. We have, I think, 13 podcasts over there now. gablemedia.com. And before we wrap up, a special thank you to our partners at Graphisoft for helping our community of architects make the transition to BIM with ArchiCAD software. Go now to graphisoft.com/us/EntreeArchitect and see how Graphisoft is positioning to help make your architecture firm a success. Visit graphisoft.com/us/EntreeArchitect to learn more. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage. Love, learn, and go share what you know.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and the sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick. So when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure. And when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay. We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glenn Gary. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark Arlepage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.